Our Pashas told us we're going to begin with something from Chai Yisora. Famous that said that David Ritholtz, Dr. David Ritholtz, mentioned to me last year about this Nitziv.
I'm coming back next week. That was very smart.
His office is located. The Yitzchak Bami Bobe Lachai Roi Vehu Yoshev Eretz Hanekev. So this is where he's meeting for the first time Rivka. He's coming from Be'er Lachai Roi. So very interesting. This Be'er Lachai Roi, who was there first? Hagar. We don't know what happened to Yitzchak right after the Akedah. Some say he stayed up in the har for a long time. Some say he went to Be'er Lachai. And some say he was in Gan Eden for a while. He died and then he came back. The Be'er Lachai is talking about where Hagar was a mespalel to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And no one cared about her. And she was going there to get, and then she's Be'er Lachai because God is looking after her. So same thing, Yitzchak felt now God is looking after him. So he is in a very high state of spirituality at this point. Hu yoshev be'eretz ha-negev. Vayesa Yitzchak losuach basada lefnos erev. Vayisa enev vayari negev malim ba'im. Now, by the way, this idea, Vayesa Yitzchak losuach basada, we're going to look at the word basada when we get to the Rav's understanding of ish sada. But Yitzchak, at that point, he's davening, and then he sees Vinei Gemalim Ba'im. Now look how the Netziv introduces Toldos and where he's saying why it was done in such a way. Sibar HaKosov Ki HaMechem Etzadei Gavar Yisparach Sivar Sheyifka Yitzchak B'Rivka B'derech. God, the Pasuk, the Torah is telling us, because the Metzadeh, in other words, God, is setting everything up that Yitzchak should meet Rivka in the derech. Utehei nivasa mimenu betchila sacharosa also. And the first minute is that she becomes overwhelmed. Ve'im hoya eved ba ima tchila lebeis Avraham. What should have happened? Eved should have taken and first, you know, introduce her to the shver and say, here is Rivka. Hoya Avraham mekabla tchila medaber aliba acha haisa mischonenes dato aleha. What would have happened? Avram would have sat him down and say, listen, my son just had a traumatic experience. He's an ish tzaddik. He's way up there. He's like, he's been in yeshiva his whole life. Right? Don't be afraid of him. Yitzi is a good boy. He's not so crazy. You know, talk to her. She would have relaxed. And they would have had a relationship like a normal husband and wife. Take out the garbage. Abal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sivav She Yitzchak Baba Oso Eis Mavober Lachai Ra'u Shehoyilo Oso Mokam Yuchal Letfilo. That's why many people say this is the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Oso Mokam, this is where he was davening. Visbodedus Al Be'er Shenira HaMalach. So they would have, they would have been a different relationship. What did she? Her first reaction, she was overwhelmed. She pacha, and that stays with her for her entire life. We turn the page. She sees him in all his glory. Vatisa Rivka Vateres Yitzchak Ba'oda Omeim Nimspala B'Hayoz Kemalach Halukim Norim Ma'od. The way he was dominating, she looks at him. She's Samalach. It's a malach, you know, you can't relate. I remember as a kid, I used to go to Shalom Lam quite often for Shabbos. So after a few weeks, you know, Rabbi Lam, he would see me like, listen, first time you meet a Rabbi Lam, I was in awe. Here is president of Yeshiva University. He's, you know, he's the man. Finally, once I meet him, you know, I'm downstairs learning in his living room. He came down. He was wearing only a robe, but he came down. So he turned to me and finally said, you know, Menachem, when I get dressed, I put on my pants one leg at a time. As he kind of like said, listen, you're not going to have a relationship with me if you're going to have this pachad, you know. So I made up for it over the years. Yadav Shtuchos B'Tzvila Alkein Yivas Ma'ot. And that was, just saw the unbelievable greatness in him that her pacha, they didn't allow to have a normal relationship. So mi ha'ish ha'lazeh ashani mispaledes mispaledes. Who is this man? She even know who it is. Who is this man that I'm so afraid of? Ukemavua b'reishis rabba shebeloshin ha'lazeh mashmo adam ma'avim v'nora. Alkein kishishama shehu isha batika chatzif. She covers her face. Merov pachad abusha kemosha mevina she'ena ruuya lihiyoslo leisha. From then on, nikva beliba pachad. It's an amazing kiddush of the Netziv. This is Netziv Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. V'lo haisa im Yitzchok kemo Sarah im Abraham b'Rochel im Yaakov. They didn't have a normal relationship like the others. Asher beyosam lehem eisa kapita alehem lo boshu ledavo resas lefneihem. You know, Sarah. Let's you know, Sarah told Abraham, you know, get rid of Yishmael. Get rid of these guys. Get rid of Hagar. Masha en came Rivka. V'chol ze hakdama l'sipor sheyavo b'parshas Toldos, sheho Yitzchak v'Rivka m'chulakim b'deyos. Now this already is the set. When we say this is where today, you're going to see we're talking about chinuch, but marital issues, and here in the sense that they really didn't see eye to eye. They didn't just have a discussion. In fact, so much so. I'll read you something from Rav Diskin. Just something I've been thinking about. I was up this morning trying to find just halachic understanding. It was says, "Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav Kitzayid Bepiv." It's an amazing thing from Rav Diskin. The Hikshelot Tamachachemet. Someone asked Rav Diskin, "Heichnuchal Amadav Zeh Beshvil Shetzayid Bepiv Beshvil Zeh Ohav LeEsav LaRasha." This is you loved him because he was a hunter. I'll come back to give my own shot on that. V'teirus Rabbeinu, d'zeu peirus ha'kosov, api ha'pshut, d'ayim b'ramban, d'teiru chatzor, b'alufu'amim la'amit. Sometimes the Torah wants to give it truth, real truth. Gam kan bo ha'kosov la'amit ha'dava, d'yitzchok lo'ho yisoni le'esav. Watch out, he didn't hate Esav, he loved Esav. V'gam d'hoya o'yev asol kibon she'hoya b'char. Akein omra v'ye'ehav. In other words, he showed his love. Peirus, b'heichan ha'yo nika. How did he show his love? This is unbelievable. Hayunika kitzayi befiv and kamosha tirgim unkelus ure mitzeda hava achel. He ate from his tzeda, from the shechita. Perish haya ocha mashchitaso uvezeh hayunika she'ohevaso. De'im lo ken elisha husone yoso. If he hated him, umimema husone yoso b'shvosha hurasha em kem lama ocha mitzeda. How did he eat from it? He's a mummer. V'lo asalecha mashchitaso. In fact, when I looked at him, I see Rashi. It's you go into the Shulchan Aruch. He taught him. He taught him Hilchos Shechita. Otherwise, how could he have eaten from it? You need to have a Kabbalah. How do you know he's doing it right? No, it doesn't matter. No. That's such a balabatish thing to say. Small minds. In other words, you have to understand that even the Torah is being written in such a way, so you should understand this. Otherwise, why are you telling me the story? It doesn't matter if it's historical, not historical. It's written here in order to teach you halacha. That was Beryl Eckstein, by the way, this morning. In love, but omid al gaba. Rivka wouldn't eat from it because she knew who he was, and we'd only have how omid al gaba. It's like if someone is questionable, someone stands up and watches to make sure the shechita was proper. Let me ask you a question: why didn't Rivka tell Yitzchak at that point, stop him from eating such shechita? Right. And it happens to be a separate idea over here. If you have knowledge that some shochet is somewhat suspect, do you have to tell the person who's using that shechita? But I'm just pointing out that you'll see that there are a number of times that she doesn't tell him what's going on.
He's saying that Yitzchak didn't understand, or that he understood, but because he loved him, he ate it anyway.
I think he didn't recognize him. But the Mefarshim seem to say he didn't recognize his rishis. You just didn't see that. And he hid it. I think, by the way, this is one of those examples where Mamish hid it. If you accept the fact that he taught him Shechita, right? I think that's also the Pshat. He says, do you take Maisa from Melech? Do you take from this? He's obviously, he's an outwardly, he is acting as a very good child. The Rava points this out, the different Lekibit and Mora. Outwardly, he's showing it. I believe in everything, right? Why didn't have a bris milah? It was a sakana. But outwardly, he's showing that he's mamish a good kid, and that'll be important. But hold on to that thought when we get to Rav Hirsch. So my rov paka kamosha mevina sheinu reuya liyos leisha miyot. So what happened? Mikol makom lamotza rivka leiv lahamid es yitzok al data bedvarim nechochem ki hi yodasa emes ki esav ratzai b'fi. She could not bring herself to explain to him. He's nothing. He's a Russia. V'chein b'shas habrachos. V'chol zos hoysa siba mehakadosh baruch hu. Sheyagiu habrachos hiyakov dafka ba'ofen kizeh. We're going to get to that in a second. This is on purpose. God wanted the brachos to be given b'mirma. He wanted it to be that Yaakov is going to fool Yaakov. Yaakov is going to fool Yitzchak. V'chashe yavu b'mekomo. Vila haisa rivka im isha kemosara v'rachel im anasheim lo hayim magia b'zeh ofam v'hagol b'hashkacha pratis. This is how God wanted it to happen. Shetagia rivka liyitzah b'shash li'tival mimenu v'yetia acheres dover v'kipi ritzona yisparach. So first of all, let's understand the pshat and the tzif until now. And there's a musa haskil. You can't have a relationship with someone that if it's based on total fear. This is talking about marital relations and a husband and wife, right? That's okay. She's not going to hit you now. This is a marital relationship. It's a husband and wife. If you can't talk to each other, and this is a relationship in everything, a Rebbe and a Talmud. You know, if you're going to create such fear in someone and they can't ask the question, they're never going to learn. They're going to, you know, that's what he's saying there. First of all, but why? Why did God create such a situation? So this is an amazing idea. So towards the end of the story, when it comes to the brachos, very interesting. You know, they bring the Shnei Se'irim. You know, should go get me the Gedi Shnei Se'irim. So some say this is Pesach, and some say it's a rakamah for Yom Kippur. So part of that also, I saw a very interesting sefer going back to Ramaro Diskin. They say, how could he have eaten some from the food? So one says, listen, we weren't chayim in Shechita, it was only in the Chira, so it's a little less to understand, so we weren't so concerned about that. Aye, but it was Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, if it's Shechita, if it's a carbon, then it has to be with Shechita. They go back and forth. It's a very interesting halachic, you know, mathematical issue back and forth. Ela kacha inyan. Diyesh ladas dechol midos ro'o sheba olam heime bechlal ha-yitzira shebor ha-shem gamosa. Everyone has good and bad midos. But really what he's saying is all midos are good. You have to know how to use them. U'ketesiv yotza'ar uvari ra. This is really a beautiful pshat. You know, we say uvari choshech instead of uvari ra, but the pasuk says uvari ra. What does it mean? God created evil? Al karchach yesh mehem ezer tov. There's a good even in the ra. There's a reason why God created this ra for you. Hareze dome lesam hamavas, like certain medicines, right? Medications. It's a poison if you don't take it correctly. Devadei mezdab en itim shehu sam chayim lecholda. Umikol makom nikra sam hamavas mishum she'al pi rov hu meimis. Usually when you use this type of medication, it would kill you. Gamba Asian Nisrach Lishtamesh the Chayim, Nidras Dikta Gadol Ahopig Harofe, Uvit Simpsum Shlo Yosef Kolshehovi Yistake. Right? You're going to the pharmacy, they have to give you the exact measurement of what you can have and what you can't. If you have too much, you're going to get sick. He says, that's the same thing with all midos. Kach, and here's an amazing statement. Kach Kol Hamidos Ra'os Hei Matovim L'Shabra Tzuya. Rakyeshizar Shalolishtamish Bemidazu Ki Imayide Rav Mufak But Tzimtzum Shel Yosef Al HaTzorach. You have to be very careful. And what is that? Hine Higiya Shal Yaakov Avinu L'Shtamesh B'Pachad B'Midas HaSheker V'Armimus. It's an amazing thing. God wanted him to do this through Sheker. He wanted to do it through fooling him. V'Arezu Aveiru L'Shma. Asher Gedola Hi B'Zmana Kamo Mitzvah Atzma. He's going to take a left turn and just talk about that. Just saying, one second. Aveira lishma. There is such a concept of aveira lishma. Why would there be such a concept of aveira lishma? Why, Daf, are you going to do it here? One shot I would offer is based on the Gra. The Gra says that when it came to the mitzvah of Shiluah Hakan, he says it's a mitzvah achzorius. It's a cruel mitzvah. Why would he give me a cruel mitzvah? Because how are you going to destroy a Amalek if you're a sweet guy? You have to have a certain cruelty within you. And as we'll see how the Rav is going to develop this concept of what Rivka was trying to teach Yaakov to become, to go out in the Sadeh, is you have to go out into the world when you meet these individuals, when you meet the Gentile world, you have to know how to act with them. And sometimes that acting is going to have to be with Sheker or Mirma. It has to be, though, 100% L'shem Shemayim. But you got to know how to deal in the world. The Yaseh L'Charav, I think it was the Rav of Haifa, was asking me, why was the Yeshua coming through non-religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael? Mm-hmm. Why does it come from there from Jews? So he writes very simply, he says, what do you want? Shmuel has been sitting over above and Kama night and day. He's going to take out a gun back in 1910, he's going to start fighting. Shmuel didn't know how to hold a gun. These other guys are hanging out in the kibbutzim. They're the ones who know how to do it. Simple shot, right? So it was important for this. That's what he's saying. You have to develop all of these skills. There's a Gemara. The Gemara in Horios. So Gemara in Horios says that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel were on a trip. And their trip, they were going to see Caesar, and the Gemara says that one of them, Reb Shua, came with meat and fish and bread and water, soda, eggs. He had everything. And Reb Gamliel, he came with bread and water. So what happens? They got lost in the boat. And the Gemara says, why did they get lost? Because there was a comet that comes out once every 70 years, Halley's Comet. So Rav Gamliel turns to him and says, how did you know to bring all this extra food? He says, I knew we were going to get lost. I knew we were going to get lost. He said, because of that comet, it has a tail. So in a tail, Stewie Affle explained to him this many years ago, a tail in a comet sometimes is behind or sometimes in front. I knew that the sailors were going to get all confused because they're going to look at this and the thing is going a certain way and they're going to turn around and go, I knew we were going to get lost. Comes to Marshawn and Marshawn says, what's pshat? So pshat is that Rav Yeshua was walking with mathematics and history and geography and science. He came prepared for everything. We're going to Caesar. What are you going to come? Tell him a pshat from Rashi? He's going to tell you. You have to talk to him in his lashon. Get him how to speak to him. That's the same idea here. You have to know how you're going to go into the whole world. So now the Netziv continues, but it has to be 100% lishma. It's funny, this is an incentive. I remember this, the whole thing from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He says the same thing, he says, Penina. What did Penina say to Chana? You know, he says, she makes fun of him, so Chana should really daven, right? Mm-hmm. So why does Penina get punished? It was an aveira lishma. She got a little nachas.
Yeah.
A little nachas from the whole thing. That already destroys the aveira lishma. Has to be 100%. 100%. Otherwise, that's what he's saying. Uchiyotim is that shnei seirim echad l'shem hu kedusha. Echad l'shem, that's a kedusha. This is a beautiful shot, by the way, the shnei seirim. Echad l'shem, echad l'azazel. What does that mean? One is l'shem. That's when you're doing all the mitzvahs. L'azazel. Sometimes you have to do something that's not a mitzvah. Make sure it's also l'shem shemayim. Ukedusha echad l'azazel hu ke'en karbon l'kochos atum echas v'shalom. Vahu mitame avo mekom malkom eis uvizman shitziva Hashem harezu mitzvah kamo asir l'Hashem. Sometimes it's a mitzvah, right? What the Netziv is really saying to Immanuel Kant, the bistagonish. What are you talking about? A categorical imperative. What are you? There's never a time to murder.
Of
course, we don't call murder, we'll kill. You're in the middle of a mechama, we say, oh, you're not allowed to kill someone. What are you going to do? Right? That's why the Immanuel Kant just didn't make sense. Netziv is saying there are some times there's an Aver Lishma, and that you have to act that way. Then he points out the rest of the thing. He gives examples to show, but it has to be 100% Lishma. It's a beautiful, beautiful understanding of why it had to be Bemirma. Comes the Rav. This is on page 6. And here we go. Remember, it said Basada. He went out Lasuach Basada. Vayhi Esav Ish Yodei Yetzayed Ish Sada. V'Yakov Ishtam Yoshev Oholim. Right? The Rav doesn't point out everything. I'm introducing that concept into the Rav, but I don't think he would disagree here. And Esau was a man who understood hunting and a man of the field, whereas Jacob was a simple man. What does that mean? The Torah describes Esau using two expressions, Ish Yodei Yetzayin, a man who understood hunting. Ish Sada, a man of the field. Hunting in this context refers to an aggressive ambition, the drive to work and achieve and continue working to achieve even more. More specifically, Ish Yodei Yetzayin relies on no one other than himself. His own initiatives and efforts. He denies the concept of providence as the primary factor in determining a person's successes and failures, and focuses exclusively on honoring his talents and existing owning his talents and exercising himself in pursuit of his goals. In other words, you go up to the guy, what are you? I'm a dentist. I'm a lawyer. I'm an accountant. Right? You go over to Jew and he says, what am I? That's what you do. No. I'm a Jew. I'm a Yid. To make money, I happen to do this, I happen to do that, but that's not who you are. But what is an Ish Sada? That's what determines who you are. Your whole famous is that I'm someone special because this is what I do. While the Ish Yodei Yetzayin describes Esau's approach to pursuing his goals, the second term commentator, Ish Sada, describes goals and Ish Sada as a person driven by a passion for wealth, luxury, fame. The field, the workplace, is only the place where he earns his livelihood, but the very essence of his life. He devotes himself tirelessly to the accumulation of wealth and luxury. And in this relentless pursuit, ideas as compassion said, becomes optional. Now this, I used to work in a law firm. I must tell you, I used to think about this. I really felt that some of the people, they were all from, that many of the people in the law firm, you look and they defined themselves as attorneys. That was it. And it's just like everything was about the law. Modern Western man has much in common with the biblical Esav. Like Esav, modern man also relies exclusively on his own efforts and refuses to acknowledge God's hand in his face. 20th century man is guilty of being an Ish Sada, of allowing the pursuit of wealth, comfort, and fame to overtake his life and define his very essence. The accumulation of wealth has become an end unto itself, an end that justifies virtually all means. People feel responsible only for themselves and their fortunes and allow themselves to trample over others during their fanatic pursuit efforts. Frantic. Jewish tradition teaches us instead to follow the example of Yaakov, whom the Torah here describes in Ish Tam Yoshev Olam, a simple man. Now, simplicity cannot possibly refer to simple-mindedness or naivete. After all, over the course of his life, he managed to outmaneuver both his murderous brother and insidious uncle. Rather, Jacob's simplicity manifested itself in the nature of his lifestyle, which was characterized by humility and contentment, etc. Jacob invested his energies in the service of God rather than the world. So in other words, these two personalities, Esav versus Yaakov.
And Yaakov versus Yitzchak also.
Yeah, well, in what sense?
I mean, what did he learn from Yitzchak? What character trait did he learn from Yitzchak?
So it's very interesting. It could be... Especially
the way you described him at the beginning.
Right. He definitely is in awe of Yitzchak. It's Rivka.
Right.
It's Rivka.
He learns from Rivka.
Right. Rivka who tells... And I find this interesting that Rav sees this. The Rav's love for secular knowledge, introduction to secular knowledge, was not from his father. It was from his mother. I wonder if that somewhat helped influence.
Like Rivka.
Right, Rivka, right. Same too.
He learned everything from Rivka. He learned nothing. If you think of...
She learned how to, like, deal with reality.
Exactly. Okay. Very true. Very true. And just like his mother was also read Russian books and...
She could see through
this. Right.
She lived with it.
So, and Isaac and loved Esau because his game was in his mouth. There are two mitzvahs here, and this is beautiful. Why did he love him? So the Rav will say that second. We don't have all that much time. There are two mitzvahs, this Kibud Av V'Aim and Yira. Kibud Av V'Aim is outward. You have to take care of them. You have to buy them clothing. You have to feed them. You have to get them a good nursing home. You got to take care of them. What is Yira? Year is after they die. After they die, he still can't sit in his seat. You still have to say Elo Hashem. You still can't contradict what your father said. You still have to act a certain way. He says that Yaakov, Esav, had Kibud Av V'Aim. He didn't have Yira. Right? He's going to be the first one he's going to introduce. His doctor goes out to marry women who would really not get along. With Yitzchak and Rivka, right? The first real mother-in-law and father-in-law, the daughter-in-law. That's what he was. Vayavo Esav and Asadim who Oyev, the Rav writes, who Oyev means, you know, when a person lives such a life that his pursuit of wealth, he gets tired. In other words, he has no purpose in life. What do you do when you're a billionaire? You have to wait. You have an Elizabeth Warren to finally give you a reason to leave. She says that you're nothing, so therefore you have a reason now to fight against something. But if someone has money and money and money, he says, oh, yay, I don't see what is life offering me anymore?
So the rat race started back then.
1-4, correct. Okay, then...
To play devil's advocate, couldn't you argue that there's no mitzvah or commandment in the Torah that says, you shall not lie? I mean, there are things we derive...
Midrash Tesh of the Sheker Tircha. From Sheker, you have to tell... Someone said to me the other week, it's a great song. It's really a great song, and someone made a pasuk out of it.
when Yaakov deceived his father,
yeah.
And there are some... I've read that rabbis say, you know, technically the words he used, he didn't lie.
So
he was violating a
mitzvah. Rabbi Sheker Tirchak. So that's really what the Netziv was saying. He was Sheker, but there's a reason. It was a Sheker Lishma. And that's why Rivka says, don't worry. I know that you have to do this.
How do you decide? Who gets to decide?
That's what we're just saying. Sometimes there is a... And one answer is because of Shalom Bayis, you're allowed to have Sheker. You're allowed to have Sheker. Here was this. He didn't see it. And he had to have seen it. I'll tell you in a sense. Let me finish off the Rav's ideas. Lech no el atzom. This is where I say the Sada. Rivka realizes. This can't go on. The brachas can't go to Esav. It's on page 8. Brachas can't go to Esav. They have to go to Yaakov. Why was Rebekah so determined that Yaakov received the blessings? Esav was a man who understood hunting, a man of the field. Rebekah knew if Esav was the only master in the street, Yaakov would have no future. The day might come when Yaakov would be driven not only from public life, but also from his private domain, from his tents. If in Beersheba, the Beis HaMidrash of Shem Ve'Eber, Yaakov could keep himself away from the field, from the rush and tumble of the secular life. If there he could still allow himself to leave the field to Esav, it would be impossible to do so in the future. Right now you get it, it's good, you can sit in yeshiva. But now you got to get out. When emigrating to a new land, a new society, where the individual is forced to take part in the life of the field, go now to the flock, my son, learn how to go out to the field. Learn how to go into the sada. You can't just remain the rest of your life in the base medrash. You're going to have to go out and build a society. Learn how to struggle for the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth. The mother explained to Yaakov that the field does not have to be a place of impurity. Judaism believes that the field in all of its forms and transformations, with its speedy expansions and captivating giant, can be beautiful and gorgeous. What he's trying to say, you have to be makdish the chol. You have to show how everything in this world can have kedusha. And the Rav is going to, we'll do this when we get to Parshas Vayeshev, or one of the three Parshias. Where the Rav writes, he basically says the machlokas between Yosef and his brothers was about how to prepare yourself for Golus. It really is the Rav's definition, a closest definition of what modern orthodoxy is supposed to be. The modern orthodoxy is trying to teach them that you have to have secular knowledge. You have to be able to be like the Rabbi Yeshua when you go into the world to know how to deal with the world. You can't, you never, I mean, Eretz Yisrael, how are you going to build Eretz Yisrael? Not everyone can sit and learn. There has to be, when you have the Shvatim, we'll see when you get to reverse. The Shvatim, everyone had a different bracha. Because some people are going to be lawyers and doctors, and some are going to be tilling the land, some people are going to be mechanics, and some people are going to be learning in yeshiva. That's what he was trying to teach them. The Rivka was trying to tell him, you have to become, you need to be a little bit like Esav. You should know that Esav finds no place of no peace of mind in the field. The work that does not satisfy him, he is tired and dispirited. And Esav came from the field. Again, he's talking about he comes back Oyev. On the one hand, Esav is victorious, conquerors of the world. He's proud and brazen. He dreams of conquering the entire field. But this hunter is beaten by his own conquest. Yitzchak, on the other hand, feared. Feared Yaakov's leaving his tents and becoming entangled in the field, finally agreed with Rivka. He finally admits after, she was right. He finally comes around, but she had to do it. So I saw one shot, I think it's in the Shem of Shmuel. He gets the difference. Why did she do B'mirma? Why did she fool him? Because she was trying to show him, listen, Yitzi, I fooled you so easily. He fooled you also. Finally dawned on him that he was naive. He didn't see it. And that's why she had to do it in this manner. Tziv has one shot. And the Rav is basically saying that this was a conflict between two ideas. Yitzchak felt, you know, in this world there has to be Yosef Ov Tom in your entire life, per se, because that's what he was. He wanted Yaakov to be. He wanted to create this Zvul and Yisachar relationship. He didn't realize. How did she realize? She had a nevuah. She basically knew what was going to happen. I would give, before we go to the shot of this is Siva Shalom. Before we go to that, I would say, if we give a different shot totally, Yitzchak knew. And I'm contradicting because a lot of things that I said until now, there are many, you can plug holes into what I'm thinking, what I'm saying. But I think it's an idea that even if it's, you know, I think that this week's parsha, someone misinterpreted something, ran over to the Gra, and the Gra said, Falsha Torah is also Torah. You know, even if you're wrong, sometimes it's considered Torah. I look at Yitzchak as almost like the father par excellence. What did he do? He said, Vayet Kitzayi Bepiv. You know why he loved him? It's not that he loved him because it's like, listen, he's a guy who sits and learns all day. Listen, if I'm sitting and learning all day, I really want my kids to sit and learn all day. I send one kid to yeshiva, Shem Be'er. I want him to go to Shem Be'er also. I want them all to learn. But not, you know what? This kid wasn't interested in learning. I still loved him. Why? I loved him, Ba'a Shehu Shem. This kid, you know, he's a hunter. He's a runner. He loves to play hockey. He loves to, whatever it is. That's how I relate with this child. What he wanted to do was he understood that Yitzchak, that Esav was a very different type of kid. He didn't give up on him. You know, I remember with Avi. I think it was 8th grade. Yeah, it was 8th grade. The Rebbe still doesn't speak to me. So I go to the first quarter, you know, when you hear the parent-teacher thing, and I think it's November. It's right after Yom Tov. So it's like a month later. And the guy said to me, listen, I can't get to your kid. Some kids I can't get to. What was all my kids in Esav? I can't get to your kid. I can't get to my kid. Can't get to him. I remember I turned to him and I said, Rabbi, with all due respect, I think, in my humble opinion, I think you should open up a candy store. He says, why? I said, because you can't be a Rebbe.
After, and he's not talking to you anymore?
You can't believe that. I just walked out from him. I said, I don't understand.
Is he a Rosh Hashiva today?
Gadol Adar. No, he said, what do you mean? After a month, you're giving up on my kid? What kind of a Rebbe are you? That's what I said. And what about Yechara Chara Gadol was he finally realized. If Rivka fooled him, he realized Rivka's a tzaddikas. She's not just doing this. She must have known something that I didn't know. So he was shocked. He said, oh, I lost Esav. You mean you're right. Esav has no future. Esav can't. The mother, when a mother is able to turn away from a child, right, just like we discussed with Sarah in her Bakasha, so if Rivka is able to turn away from Esav and say, there's nothing I can do for this kid. He's a Russia.
That's what.
In the end, he's still a child. He's still a Russia, but he can't get the bread. He can't be the leader. He can't be it. The Nesiva Shalom, yes.
Isn't it possible that
anything is possible in life?
That Yitzchak felt that maybe if he maintained this closeness with Esav, that he would eventually be able to influence.
Well, yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. It could be that he tried. He tried. The Nesiva Shalom, just a little bit of it, just to take home or something. I think this is because all these stories is to teach us an idea, and this is unbelievable. Umarumas bezel dasu avoda de shnei hagayim heim shnei hayitzarim sheyesh ba'adam. You know, we like to look at this. Oh, there's an Esav and there's a Yaakov. So, you know, Siva Shami. I love the way he does this all the time. Everyone has a Yaakov and an Esav within you. Everyone has it, and it's true because just that's enough. And so you have. We all have an Esav within us. We have that part of us that. Where do we find our dignity? Where do we find our reason? Like we have, what is, oh, I'm rich. I have to show everyone I'm rich. I gotta build the biggest house. I gotta show something. I didn't say it. I didn't say, hey, Ralph.
He won't be talking to you.
Right, I didn't say Elm Street. I mean, you could live in Washington, but no, I could live in Elm Street. But it's unbelievable. Just a beautiful idea that everyone has an Esav within you. Yetzer Hatov, Yetzer Hara. Shekach Kova Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, and this is unreal. Shasei Da Olam Shadiyem Lchama Tamidus Ben Yetzer Hatov LeYetzer Hara. And he says that really the phrase is, what does it mean? You do Bedikas Chomet Yud Ad, you know, Yud Beis, at, you know, on the 14th day. The first 13 years, a kid has a Yetzer Hara, and then all of a sudden he's Mavar, he gets rid of it and becomes a Bar Mitzvah. All right, but I think the first part, I think, is something beautiful to think about. We all have an Esav within us. You know, that Esav has to be curtailed. You have to know how to deal with that.
Or channeled.
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 Comes, this is the weekend of Hank. I didn't realize this. Perfect week. Perfect week. This is Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch takes the parenting skills or lack thereof of Rivka and Rivka and Yitzchak, and takes them out. Our sages, who never objected to draw attention to his small and great mistakes, the weakness in the history of our great forefathers, and thereby make them the more instructive for us. Here too, Vayigdal, what is it? Vayigdal Hana'arim makes a remark which is indeed significant for all of us. They point out the striking contrast in the grandchildren of Avraham. May it be done not so much to the difference in their temperaments as to the mistakes in the way they were brought up. As long as they were little, no attention was paid to the slumbering differences in their nature. Both had exactly the same teaching and educational treatment. And the great law of education, Chanoch Lenara Pidarko, bring up each child in accordance with its own way, was forgotten. Each child must be treated differently with an eye to the slumbering tendencies of his nature and out of them be educated to develop his special characteristics for the one pure human and Jewish life. The great Jewish task in this life is basically simple, one and the same for all, but in its realization is complicated and varied human natures. Not everyone has to go to the same yeshiva. You got to understand, each kid is a little bit different. And that doesn't mean he's bad or good. You have to look, Ba'asher Husham, what does this child need? And they brought him up exactly the same. When Father Yaakov visualized the tribes of our nation, the sons, this is gorgeous. In Parshas Vayechi, when he's giving them all brachas, What is the, each one gets their own bracha. Around his death, but he saw not only future priests and teachers, he saw around him the tribe of the Levites, the tribes of royalty, of merchants, of farmers, of soldiers. Before his mental eye, he saw the nation of all its manifold characteristics and diverse paths of life, and he blessed all of them, each kibirchaso baruchasam, each according to his specialty, with all the different paths in life, did he bless them. For the covenant which God established with Avram wants to win the whole national life, whole fresh, complete life of a nation with its manifold classes and occupations, all of the ones the same task of life. Beautiful. Everyone, yeah.
So is it possible that Yitzhak blessed Esau with exactly the bracha? He saw the same thing that Yaakov did in terms of each child needs his own bracha. Maybe
right.
The bracha that he gave Esau was exactly the bracha
he
perceived.
Right. Exactly.
That he needed, and,
absolutely.
And,
right.
The Abrahamic bracha of Zerah Be'eretz.
Right.
He gave. It wasn't his to give, but eventually.
Right.
To Yaakov,
he intended. Where it belonged. He intended to give this bracha to Esau because he perceived, incorrectly, he perceived that Esau was the individual to be in this relationship of Zebulun and Yisachar. He perceived it. He understood that more. I understand that, correct. But I think the idea that he's saying is magnificent. To try to bring up Yaakov and then Esau in the same college, make them of the same habits and hobbies, want to teach and educate them the same way for some studious, sedate, medieval life is the surest way to court disaster. I used to learn in the mornings. Actually, I don't want to say the yeshiva. I used to be amazed. I used to watch the different kids in every yeshiva. And this yeshiva, I'm watching them, you know, everyone dresses the same way. In the beginning, you know. But then I saw a bunch of boys, they're just like, they don't belong there. They just don't belong there. Why are they there? Where am I going to send you? I'm going to send you to a different yeshiva. I sent my kids to this yeshiva. You have to go to this yeshiva. But they didn't belong there. I could see their whole hashkafa. You know, and that's a sure way of getting a kid to go off the derech. You know, you can't force everyone into the same idea. Like, everyone can't dress black and white. Some people want to wear a colored shirt. All right, if that's the Mishnah, so let them wear it. You can't force everyone to do the same thing. So.
Yeah, but then it's also then the rebellion or Shiva say,
oh,
you have to wear.
So one second, I'm going to show you. I'm not finished. And he said the next page, just so, had Isaac and Rebekah studied Esau's nature and character early enough and asked them how can all the strength and energy, he gevir tzayid, gevir lefnei Hashem, they should have said to him, don't be an ish sadeh, I want to show you to be an ish basadeh. I think it's a big lush in the difference. Ish sadeh means, that's what defines you. Ish basadeh means I live in the sadeh also. I'm an ish. I also have to be Batsada. It's nothing I could do. How else am I gonna make a living? That's not what determines who you are. So Rav Simon, oh, before we go on, this is from the Eish Kodesh. He has a sefer called Chovas HaTamidim. It's so interesting. He says you have to be careful. His whole first chapter is about how you have to teach kids. He says, you know, when we see kids going off the derech, who's at fault? He says, we're at fault. We, the Rebbe's, we're at fault. You know, you got to grab it. I always make fun of yeshivas, you know, today. You know, Baruch Hashem, we have Eretz Yisrael, and kids are able to go to yeshiva for a year. Because I always feel that so many of our high schools, their tradition is, how many kids can I get to throw away their tefillin before the end of the 12th year? Who's ever left, we're going to keep them from. But here what he's saying, Lechoza lef obo kedusha temnes hapek lonel, before they become our enemy. In Moshe Rabbeinu, kol anavim, mechol atzadikim, hechinu es atzma, migoldam adregis tzadkotzam, eleinu af letarfi gufeinu. This is unbelievable. Such an interesting site. Moshe Rabbeinu was beyond. Had to come down to our level to be a Rebbe. We have to come down to their level. We've got to find ways to teach each kid. This is written in the 1930s. So if you turn to page 14, the Eish Kodesh. The Eish Kodesh. So the Gra, first he quotes, Hanoch l'nar al pi darko, page 14. He quotes, he gives a nice paragraph, but he doesn't give the flavor of Rav Hirsch. Divrei Hagra. Hagra b'perish on Mishle, ha'inin hu ki ha'odam i'efshar lo l'shvar darkav. Everyone has a certain, no one's, how you act, nature, characteristic. Kolomer mazlo shenolibo, kamosha amru b'mesecha Shabbos. You know, a person has a certain hateful, has a certain anger. Let him be good. Come a shochet. Right? Let him, you know, and what is it? Levi, Shimon v'Levi. What? Levi had a tremendous passion. Let him become a teacher. Moving into a certain derech. Don't yell at the kids. Amar Rav Ashi in Umna, in Ganava, in tabacha, imul, whatever, zecha ilo shlosh lefi shemazla mora kishofek damim. So therefore, what you have to choose is go into one of the things that changes you. But focus, and that's your characteristic. That's who you are. That's who you are. Then he says the next time is beautiful. Then he says also lima Torah. Lima Torah. Ubiyemis yisod zeh shechina chanok lana pidako eni mege lechina chabonim v'atamim bovad ele zeh nochutz gam le'inyin china cha'odam atzmo l'torah v'avoda. Not only for how do you teach, what about yourselves? Kinei yadu l'chol sheyesh harbe mitzvos b'torah. There are many different parts of Torah. Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, Medrash, Gedoma. Ulefamim anashim choshev she'im heim lo mutzlachim b'gemara o chelek achir sheva Torah ein lehem shaychus klal le'esek haTorah. There are people who think that's it. If I can't learn, listen to me. I love Gemara. I love Rashi and Tosfos. I love going through it. This is how I was brought. I had it speaks to me. Doesn't speak to everyone else. This is Baruch Simon. So it doesn't speak to everyone else. So what does he say? So learn Chumash. So become a Baki in Chumash, you become a Baki in Halacha, you become a Halacha. Whatever speaks to you, you don't succeed because you it's just it because you force yourself into something. It's a tircha. It's an interesting idea. That's what you have to. You know, Rabbi Lamb mentioned to me many years ago in MTA, when he took over YU, he said he wanted to create a program, like, you know, in YU they have the yeshiva program, then they have an EMC program, and JSS, different, you know, categories. For some kids don't want to sit and learn all day. So he says, you know what, we're going to make a program, just like we have at the college, for high school kids. You learn Gemara for an hour, let's say, and then you learn Chumash, and you learn this and that. Make sure each kid can find whatever derech he wants to do. So he started to do it. He said he couldn't have to stop. Because the parents called up. You're putting my kid into Chumash instead of Gemara? I want my kid to learn Gemara. That's a class. That's what Rav Hirsch is saying. As Chanochuma Apidarka means maybe your kid isn't into it. So what are you going to do? You're going to force him to do something? In the end, he'll give it up? Then he says in the next page, quotes from Rav Cook. Herani Harav Hagan Rav Meir Goldberg. The Devar of Neflam Shel Harav Cook. The Sifra Oros HaTorah. Yeshnam Sheyatul Latarbas Ra'ab Mevnesha Bederach Limudum V'lashemusam Haruchon Bogdim B'tuknusam Ha'ishasam Yuchedes. Some people really became evil. They went off the Derach. Harisha Echad Mukshul Ledivrei Agud. He says, you forced them to learn something which they couldn't relate to. So they scoffed at it. They didn't, you know, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I remember in BTA, remember the guy who sat next to me?
Wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. No. You were in the garbage place. There was a, I remember there's a guy who's just sitting next to me. Well, you probably had this in your class also. But I noticed this Gemara. Every day, he had blue to the right, and then he would color the Tosfos in yellow, and then he would color the Gemara, you know, in green, and that's what he did all day. He wasn't listening to a word, but he was coloring the whole Gemara. Had the most colorful Gemara in the world. Vinyani halacha einam lefi technusa liyos asuk ben mikvias umitoch she'einam makin. And therefore, since he didn't recognize the harachas kishrono ham yuchad hu mishtagei vinyani halacha fi haminik amugda. You know, like the Rav used to say, what should you teach kids? And this, for those of you involved in Hank, I think you should bring this up. You should bring this up in every yeshiva. The Rav used to say, you know, when you teach Gemara, he says, start off teach them with tractates that will be readily understandable and to each child. Don't teach him Bava Metziah. Don't teach him Eli Metziah. Eli Metziah, Hamaniach Hakad. What are you doing?
Yuma.
Teach him Yuma. Why don't you teach him Psachim? Teach him the last parak. Teach him brachas. Teach him Beitza. Teach him, you know, Gemaras they can relate to right away. But what do we do? No. We're going to teach you Gemaras you just won't enjoy. Yeah, I remember the way I had a very good Rebbe, and I remember when we did Eilu Metzias, it became a game, you know, Yeish Lomidas. So it was a game. We had it on the board every day. 5-2, 3-4, you know, Abayim versus Rava. He made it exciting for us. All right, so I had a great Rebbe, and I had a brother who was able to teach me, to give me a certain hashva of how to learn, to enjoy it, and I was lucky. So I fell in love with it. In my class in Yeshiva Rambam, I mean, Ruba de Ruba are not from whatsoever. They didn't enjoy it whatsoever. They didn't enjoy it. So what do we do? It was a failure. The failure where we teach Torah. And finally, in the next thing, this is also very important. Chanoch l'dor al pi darka. It says not only is this true. On page 18, he says not only is this true, but this is how every Rebbe should be. Now, also every generation, you know, we grew up in certain ways that, you know, this generation can't grow up with. You know, Mai Schweimacher, for example, we created this whole notion of Neil Chassidus and people are loving it again. Hanami, so this generation, they need to have certain things.
Daf Yomi.
Whatever it is, you have to create a certain thing. Some generations want to have a lot of singing and dancing, and so that's the lashon you have to teach them. And he says, beautiful. Inyan zeh merumas b'kasa b'parshas balozcha. Asei l'cho shtei chatzotros. You have to make the chatzotros, because it's a classic thing. The long horns. Peirush Rashi. Asei l'cho atosem mishtamish behem v'lo acha. Only you can use it. And that's Gemara Menachos. Kol hakeirum sh'osem moshe k'sheirum lo. Uk'sheirum l'doros chatzotros. Every kli that Moshe Rabbeinu made was good in the Beis Hamikdash. Would have been good in the Beis Hamikdash. It's fine, not the Chatzotzros. Re'isi b'sefer, Gemal Tishlal, Rav Shehevi me'Rani Rabbeinu Gan Ravam Vinfeld, Baal Shem Sotol Shalos and Shuvos Leiv Avram, Shemidivreim Lamanu Shafilu Yeshua Lo Ishtamesh B'Chatzotzros Shalsa Moshe. Why not? Ki hakelim shvehem ishtamshem kidei lahakil as ha'am ulamasa hamachanos kolom ulatam sovem manik, to get them to surround the leader. Lahakilam ulahaviyam lidei tenu ulalechet hala ulalos bederach ha'torah v'hayira. Kelim elim ishtanim midor ledor. Every generation has to hear it differently. You know, the way the Rav taught us, and the way he taught me, and the way he taught Rabbi Lam, and the way he taught Rav Shechter, was two different ways. The Rav changed, in the sense, his personality. But the Rav terrorized the kids. But they could handle it in those days. Imagine if the Rav today would terrorize. I don't know if it would be successful. But then, he would terrorize. But later on, you have to know how to speak to each generation. We're running out of time, so I'm just going to say that. A simple halachic notion. We already did something with the shechita, but this is something to think about in our discussions of abortion and how we look at an Uber. What does it say? Vayisrotzitzu habonim bekirbo. I never thought of this. Vayisrotzitzu habonim bekirbo. What should be the lashon? Bonim? What do you mean a bonim? They're not born yet. Yeah, Ubers. Take an Uber. What does that mean? The sefer revit azav don barucha I Uber mikre ben. Olo. Is it considered a ben? Now, obviously, we know it's not a ben as we know it. Right? I mean, it has a shame chayim in the sense, but not the chayim of if there's something between the mother and the child, Suffolk versus Vaday. That's what we would say over there. We look at the Uber, it's a Suffolk Chayim, because we don't know if it's going to survive the pregnancy, and even, you know, when giving birth. So it has the status of a Suffolk. But we don't say there's no Chayim over there. We don't say that it's you know, it's just, you know, cellulose, whatever it is. Mayam shel shlomo yevom shachiyach mehaikra to ikre ben. Old havi misefer itza shekosav the high netama to shari l'shchot behema meuberes v'after nita bezet uberes v'lo chashin l'asor oso v'espano. It's unbelievable. It's another thing. How do you look at the ben and beno even with shchita? Also beno, right? You can't kill the mother and the child the same day. But so it goes through the whole thing because that's called the ben pakua. If you shecht the animal, then the child is within it. It's as if the child was also shechted. So you could do it. The child doesn't have the halachas of fleishiks. You know, this you could even eat it with milk. It's not a problem. But he goes back and forth in different halachas to understand what do you refer to it as a ben or you don't refer it to it as a ben. But that's a very interesting. Okay.
Go ahead.
You got it. Greg.